Has anybody read the book, The Love Languages? Everyone has a love language. My love language is a little different. They left it out of the book. It's time. Time is actually my love language because it's the only common denominator in the world. It's the dependent variable that is certain. There's nothing else that will be certain in your human experience. You are here to have a human experience. You are here to learn lessons in that human experience. The lessons, I promise you, will keep on coming until you learn them. There's two things about lessons that are interesting. One is I guarantee you will forget every lesson ever taught. And two, you have the power to access it at any time. Which brings me to the understanding of time that in the construct of a human experience, which starts when your heart starts and it stops when your heart stops. Everything else can start and stop as many times in your lifetime. But once your heart stops, that's it. Within the context of this human experience is the infinite experience that we have, which allows us to learn lessons, to access them and forget them, access them and forget them, to keep on learning, to enjoy the consistent, persistent, without quit pursuit of your own potential, your own truth, your own perspective, your own meaning. It's yours. It is part of the co-creative power that you're given. It's where the word commandment comes from, right? No one prays to the Ten Commandments, right? You're not demanded not to steal. We're working with your God. We're commanded to be co-creators. And in the passion and purpose of this co-creation comes a power to give meaning. And the meaning that we give in a linear time frame of the human experience has to be the past. Has to be the past. It's certain, but the meaning is not certain. And so if you can align the certainty and the meaning of the past with where you want to be or better in the infinite, this is where the five daily practices will assist you in understanding this linear time. Now, one more aspect in my love of time beyond the infinite time and understanding how to utilize time with meaning that's aligned with where we want to be or better, not what's missing, not what you don't have, not what you see on TikTok. That's not your meaning. Your meaning is derived from the failures, mistakes, setbacks, defining moments, historical relevances. All of these different things you give meaning to help you get to where you want to be or better in the infinite. And so we need a middle ground to reconcile this human experience with the infinite experience that we're co-creating in, we're commanding to and through to allow us to be what? Passionate, purposeful, profitable, to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. Why is my mission to make people happy? Because the skills and capabilities that I've been blessed with are to help people make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. You can see it in my video. It's intermixed in there. There's tints of shit. This guy makes a lot of money. Whoa, he helps a lot of people. And then since I love sports, there's a lot of fun in there as well, because that's what I love. And my secret sauce within the context of the human experience is to do something that a lot of people don't realize. Have anybody heard, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life? One of the best interviews I've ever done with Bob Carson, founder of GoDaddy, worth about $4.2 billion in his exit personally. And he said, Dave, if you love what you do, and you can see me roll my eyes because I'm so disappointed in Bob. I'm like, he's going to give me, you never, and I think that's such bullshit. And what he said was different. He said, Dave, if you love what you do, but learn to love what you don't like or don't love about what you love, you learn to like and love what you don't like about your kids, your wife, your activity you get paid for, which we call occupation, the things that occupy us in the activities of each day, paid for, unpaid for, planned, unplanned, even sleep, which is my number one activity. I'm going to be in the Hall of Fame of sleep, which means I'm going to live a third of my life better than most people on earth. And it'll enhance the other two thirds of my life, guaranteed, which is why I've had a sleep coach for 18 years, why I can be here today and leave here at 10 o'clock and be right back on it at 4 a.m. tomorrow in California, because I know how to sleep. I used to want to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Roy knew me back then, and he used to laugh at me. When I tell him now I'm going to be in the Hall of Fame of sleep, he doesn't laugh anymore. He believes me. I'm built for it. I can sleep anywhere. So I want to teach you about the utilization of time in the respect of human experience, the time the heart starts till it stops. We have defining increments that we can work to and through to give the meaning of our past, to align our intention with where we want to be or better in the future. And that's called 24 hours. I can make one guarantee, and so does God. You have 24 hours a day, each and every day, for the rest of your life, except for the last day you will be cheated. That's a guarantee. That's a certainty. Time, emotion, and value, they'll change according to the circumstances of the day, the interest rates, the weather, whatever argument you're in or out of. It doesn't matter. It's going to change. But one thing I guarantee you is every day of your life, you will have 24 hours to utilize in the trajectory, the divine direction that you want to be in. And so these five daily practices are going to help you to maximize the efficiency, effectiveness, and statistical success to where you want to be or better. Your divine direction, which makes all detours in your life, what, divine as well? And allows you to reconcile with the divine time, which is the revelation, the revealing of the truth, of the lessons you forgot and the lessons you remember, remind, and recollect with the truth, with your God. Not my God, not somebody else's God, your God. Name it as you like. I'm a firm believer just because my faith is based off of a lot of things in my life. Best option, I'm a math guy, I'm a time guy, I'm a physics guy, quantum physics guy, a metaphysics guy. So I just take my faith for anything I can't prove. What's my best option according to where I want to be or better? So my best option in faith is there's something bigger than me that knows everything, is all powerful, loves me, protects me, promotes me, and perfects me more than my mom. Anybody come up with a better option than that? I'm open to it. You can give it whatever name you want. I believe in them all. I believe in every name that represents that. I'm into it. I don't separate myself by dogmatic religion. I am one of the most faithful people, and my life illustrates that. I live my life in faith. I believe in God. That's what I named something that is bigger than me, omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-energetic, loves me, protects me, promotes me, and perfects me more than my mom. That's the name I gave it. You don't have to give it the same name. But if you come up with a better option, let me know. So how do we utilize the 24 hours that we're guaranteed? Because that seems like, for me, statistically, the best thing to do in a human experience, since it's the only certainty of the human experience, knowing the rules of the game are to give the meaning of the past to align it with the infinite, my potential, of what I want to be or better. So let's start with number one, know your what. So each and every day, each and every 24 hours a day, you should be asking yourself, what do I want today in alignment with where I think I want to be or better? Then you can align the meaning of the past with what you want today according to the circumstances of the day to get to where you want to be statistically every single day. You follow me? Know what you want personally, experientially, giving and receiving wise, every single day. Don't balance it. It's impossible. People, I want to live a balanced life. Well, fuck you. So do I. But it's mathematically impossible. Excuse my language, by the way. I forgot. I got a 14-year-old car driver who's never heard that word, I'm sure. That kid just, he's amazing, right? Like, can you imagine having to drive your kid to a NASCAR race so he could race the car? That's like the silliest thing ever. Shit, maybe you could teach my 26-year-old how to drive. I was like leaning away from parked cars when I taught her. Good thing she's not in here. So knowing our what in alignment with the meaning that we give our past. What does that mean, giving meaning to your past? So take my bankruptcy, for example. You can even imagine what it was like losing over $100 million. But even more importantly, going to tell your mom that you lost everything. But even to make things worse, you have to go tell her, not only did I lose everything, but I lost the house that you live in and you have to move. When the only reason I wanted to be rich was to provide financial security to my mom, a house and a car. I thought all the problems that exist in my life was because of financial insecurity. And here I was at the basement of my basement telling my mom that. And that's where my mom gave me a meaning to my bankruptcy. Because I told my mom on that day, why am I being punished? She smirked at me. Punished? You're not being punished, Mom. Why would God, my mom's very religious, dogmatic religion. Why would God do this to me? God does this to you? God only protects you, promotes you, loves and perfects you, son. Well, I don't believe in God then. And my mom smirked at me again. On the cusp of having to move out of the home that her son bought her, that she bragged to everyone, the golden child, the Midas, all the stuff. And she smirks at me when I said, I don't believe in God. And she says, oh, son, you believe in God. You just believe in the wrong God. And I decided that I was going to know my what. I was going to know what I wanted in the divine direction that I was born to be in. And I was going to take the meaning of losing everything and align it with where I wanted to be or better. To make a lot of money, to help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. To live each and every day doing what I want, when I want, with who I want, for as long as I want. To be happy. So that first daily practice was to learn what I want aligned with the meaning of the past to where I want to be or better in the divine direction. The second daily practice, and this was one that changed for me, and it's simple. Know your who. As the incremental 24 hours goes, I ask myself, who can I help and who can help me? Who can I help and who can help me? Why? Because the fastest way to get to where I want to be or better is to help someone else get to where they want to be or better, or ask someone that's already there for directions. It's not rocket science. Not rocket science. And I am someone that promotes asking for help more than I do even giving help, because I believe giving is natural. Receiving and asking for more are not. And it's the greatest limitation on the infinite, abundant, unified system of thought of more than enough of everything for everyone. If you receive less than you give, you'll end up at zero. It's the most hidden zero-sum game of all financially secure people. They receive more than they give. It just appears they give more than everybody else because they have more than everybody else. And they ask the universe, God, the infinite for more. Because if you give more, you're given more. You don't receive more. Every single religious, spiritual, theoretical text that I've read says the more you give, the more you're given. It's a responsibility to seek all that you're given, not in punishment, but in promotion, and receive it. So you can ask for more. So you give more, you're given more, you receive more, you ask for more than more. Now you can give more than more, receive more than more, ask for more than more than more. It's an infinite loop of giving that actually provides abundance, not receiving or anything else. But you have to be able to receive more than you give. It's always confusing. But know your who you can help and who can help you. The third daily practice, know your how. Now this is very pragmatic in how you're going to maximize your day according to where you want to be or better. And it has to do with time in itself. We're given 24 hours. I'm a student of my calendar. I study time. The word study means pay attention to and give intention to the coincidences that you want, the coinciding of the universe, the consequences, results, the outcomes that you desire are better. So I pay attention to time and the activities within that time and give it my intention of what I'm going to do, say, think, feel, and believe aligned with where I think I want to be or better for those coincidences, outcomes that are greater than what I can even imagine because I'm not big enough to understand the infinite. So in the context of the 24 hours, I've learned to be more productive, more accessible, accessing what I want and accessible to others to help them, and more gracious, the ability to find the light, the love, and the lessons and everything, to learn more. Since we're here in the human experience, divided by 24 hours to learn more. So how do we do that? Well, there's an interesting thing that happens in consistent behavior. 2 minutes a day, and this is physics, quantum physics, and metaphysics, proven by intention, 2 minutes a day, every day is worth 2 hours on a Saturday. And it's applicable to all your activities, being a parent, studying Spanish, right? That's my best example. Have you ever met a kid who studies Spanish 15 minutes a day and doesn't get an A? No such thing. They all get A's. How many of you have seen kids like me that study 15 hours on Sunday thinking they'll get an A on Monday for sure? Doesn't happen. Rarely. 2 minutes a day. So within the context of exponentiality of outcomes and understanding intention and attention equal the coincidences, the mathematical equation of luck is what I call it. What you pay attention to, what you give intention to equals these coincidences. Why not utilize consistency in its exponential factoring effectively? What do I mean by that? What changes in your day that causes you not to know how to get shit done? Circumstance. So every time you come up with a plan, a decision, an agreement, written, implied, oral, with consideration, without, it doesn't matter. The minute you come to that, you're going to make God laugh at you. In other words, time, emotion, and value changes instantly. And most people aren't prepared for that. So they end up procrastinating and feeling overwhelmed because circumstances change. It's raining. Interest rates went up. The market went down. My wife's pissed at me. Whatever it is. These are circumstances that will happen every day. So how do we take the number one nemesis, the number one interference between you and where you want to be to get the how done, is to make things non-negotiable. Now, physically, human beings hate non-negotiable behavior, proving itself that the simple things to do, even if you make them non-negotiable, are simple not to do. I use gratitude as the easiest and simplest example of this. Anybody here think they can say thank you at night before they go to bed and when they wake up? Anybody think they could do it for 30 straight days? I said I could do it, and there was nothing that was proven to give more impact than saying thank you. Every thought leader I ever met, the biggest ones in the world, every great athlete, entertainer, billionaire that I was around, they were so grateful. They all preached gratitude. Great impact in their life. But the truth is, it took me 9 months before I could say thank you every day without missing as a non-negotiable behavior. By tonight, although half of you think they can do it for sure, by tonight, half of you won't. By tomorrow morning, another half of you won't. And within 3 days, almost all of us will forget to say thank you, even though it's proven to be the number one, easiest, simplest way to change your life. 0.1 seconds and free. Can you think of anything that's easier than that? 0.1 seconds and it's free. That's how expensive gratitude is. But the impact is exponential. So we then, in the theory, have these non-negotiable behaviors. We know human beings hate non-negotiable behaviors. They hate consistent behaviors. It's just not part of our makeup. We don't like, it's annoying to do things the same, eat the same things, work out everything the same. It's just terrible. Human beings aren't made that way. So what do? Let's start with the obvious. Sleep. Make sleep a non-negotiable. It's a third of your life. It'll have the most impact for you if you utilize it for recovery and access. Proven in sports, I promise you, those who recover better perform better. That's a simple formula. Those who access information, energy, inspiration, intelligence, and intuition will have life be easy. It'll dissipate the diseasy. So if sleep and its purpose is to recover and access information and intelligence, intuition, inspiration, and energy, then sleep seems to be the priority for me. So I make it non-negotiable. No matter what circumstances arise, delayed planes, air conditioning, doesn't matter. I am going to sleep and spend money to make sure that I sleep a minimum of 8 hours a day or whatever is healthy for you. Your sleep coach will tell you. But let's, for math's sake, say that my sleep is non-negotiable for 8 hours. So now I have what guaranteed to me every day? 16 hours, which I'm going to perform better and have more information to make my life easy, not this easy. So now I put a minimum amount of time as non-negotiable for what's most important to me, considering who I want to help and who can help me, and considering how I can get it done. What's another non-negotiable? My health. A minimum of an hour a day I spend on my health. Balance, strength, cardio, nutrition, anything involving my health, I pay intention. I do say, think, feel, and believe. Meditation, a minimum of an hour a day. So now that's 9 hours of my 24 hours taken. Non-negotiable. If I slip and miss and have to have an exception, I am not going to ever stack two L's in a row. I'm going to make it my super priority to make it non-negotiable the next day. And that does happen. Emergency at 2 a.m. makes it hard to get your 8 hours of sleep. But I guarantee the next day I'm getting 8 hours. It's a double non-negotiable. Do not stack L's. Becomes a behavioral problem, not an exception. Next hour, family. I spend a minimum of an hour a day with my family. Thank God for technology because it's much easier today than it was. A minimum an hour a day. I text my kids every single day, no matter what. The three things I never heard from my father: I love you, I'm proud of you, and I always have your back. I love you, I'm proud of you, and I always have your back. I text my mom for 18 years and still text her. I have her phone number on my plan. Every single day, I text my mom, and I know she's reading it now every day, that I'm happy, I'm healthy, I love you, and I appreciate you. It's only four things your parents want to know. They'll stop making you prove it, by the way. If you tell them every day, they won't make you go fix the screen door when you're completely inept at handiwork. I'm like, fuck, I went to law school, business school, and have an honorary doctorate in humanities. I can't fix a screen door. I can afford to pay somebody, but why the fuck is she calling me to drive an hour to fix her screen door so I can meet the handyman? No, she wanted me to prove I'm happy, I'm healthy, I love her and appreciate her. So I was willing to do it. Once I started telling her every day, didn't need to prove it anymore. Saved me time, money, emotion. It was beautiful. Made her happy, which was most important to me. Minimum of an hour a day with my family. Remember, 2 minutes a day is worth more than 2 hours on a Saturday. Sometimes that's all my 20 or something year old daughters get is 2 minutes a day, minimum. I asked for five. They're better negotiators than me. They should have written the book. What else? Finance. Right? If we're going to make a lot of money, we better put attention and intention in our finances. How many of you check every balance you have every day, 7 days a week? Great habit. Great behavior. People ask me, how do you lose over $100 million? Don't pay attention and don't give intention to your finance. Especially when you have great capability of always being able to make money. That's the only reason. Your balances have a consciousness. Those who study their balances every day, you understand it has its own consciousness. When things go, you don't even have to do the math. Somebody says something, no, that's not right. You just know it. And my employer's like, how the fuck, he's not even in here. Like, how does he know that $800 is wrong? Because it has a consciousness. I'm studying it every day. I'm paying attention and giving intention to the coincidences I want in my balances, the consequences, the outcome of my balances. So study your balances every day. Faith. I study faith. I study time. And I study relativity. All within the context of the five daily practices to give meaning to my past, not to cast a shadow into my future. It is the meaning of your past that's your greatest limitation to what? To your self-image and your imagination. I will promise you a lesson that I wish somebody would have told me when I was your age. You will never overachieve your own self-image. You're not going to find outside of you what you can't find or seek inside of you. I promise you. And it's the meaning of your past that will change what's inside of you to guide you to your potential, to a divine direction, with no comparison at all to anyone else. Simply knowing I'm doing my best. I'm learning lessons and I'm having fun doing it. That's it. Which is what I ask my children when they come home from an activity. Did you do your best? That's all I need to know. And your best isn't 100%, by the way. You understand in the human experience, you cannot give 100% 24 hours a day on every goddamn thing you're trying to do. So it's, did you do your best according to the circumstances of the day, your non-negotiables and where you want to be or better? So yes, I didn't do my best on this because I have to make sure I have enough energy to do my best on that. Meaning I didn't give 100% on it, but 80% was the best that I wanted to do considering the fourth daily practice. Fourth daily practice is the antidote to feeling overwhelmed and procrastinating. Anybody ever feel overwhelmed? Anybody ever procrastinate? I got the cure. It's called prioritization. If you know what to do now and know what to do next, if you've prioritized according to the what, the who, and the how, what's important to you with the meaning of the past aligned with where you want to be or better in your divine direction, I promise you, if you know what you do and should do now and next, you'll never procrastinate and you definitely won't feel overwhelmed. You will feel blessed. You'll say to yourself, as I'm going through the five daily practices, I am so blessed because I have more options, opportunities, and touches of favor than I know what to do with in the 24 hours that I've been given. 8 hours of sleep, 4 hours of non-negotiable wake time behavior leaves me 12 hours of wake time to do whatever the fuck I want. According to the circumstances of the day, the interest rates, the weather, the arguments, the flat tires, God laughing at me, however he's laughing at me, I am now becoming better at prioritization, reprioritization, and pre-prioritization than ever because I know what to do now, what to do next, even if the circumstances change. I understand the activity I got planned, not planned, paid for, unpaid for in my sleep, and understand how to utilize that time and reprioritize within the context of that time. Prioritization, 100% of the things you do now get done. There's only two other statistics that I like. That's my favorite. 100% of the things you do now get done. Imagine the difference that makes in my life because I get shit done because I do it now and know what to do next. Second one, don't like as much, but I know it's 100% true. 100% of short putts in golf do not go in. I wish it wasn't true, but it is. And then my favorite, 99% of all statistics are made up. We can live by that. If you know your what, your who, your how, and your now, you learn to prioritize according to where you want to be or better by aligning the meaning of the past, the relativity, and time, reconcile the human experience in the increments of 24 hours with an infinite world of everything to learn those lessons at an infinite level to guide you to learn more, to expand, to grow in a mindset of growth and expansion. The last daily practice is the most confused and most, I think, misunderstood. And it's the one I hear most with the people that I help. It's, please, can you help me find my why? Find my purpose. I don't know my purpose. I don't want to know my why. Well, that's an impossibility when you live in non-negotiable behavior, especially if you have faith. You don't search for your why. You don't search for your purpose. Your thoughts about your purpose are your purpose when you believe in something bigger than you that loves you, protects you, promotes you, and perfects you more than your mom. So what am I doing every day? I'm applying my why. I'm co-commanding my life. I'm co-creating my life. I'm applying my why. I'm applying the inspiration, intelligence, intuition, the energy that we all are given. All of you have the exact same amount of energy as me. No matter how old you are, how much better shape you are in, how much taller, stronger, better looking you are, I have exactly as much energy as you. You know what I do though? I've learned not to interfere with it. That's why most people can't keep up with me. I just interfere with the infinite amount of energy that I've been given already. I just don't interfere with it, which is the fifth step of applying our why. Number one, fear. Don't spend millions of dollars like me on therapy and personal development to find out what you're afraid of. There's millions of past lives if you believe in it. Trust me, all of us have had womb trauma, infant trauma, toddler trauma, tween, teen, 10s, 20s, 30s, 40s, I'm in the 50s, can guarantee there's tons of 50s traumas available for everybody. Who cares what I'm afraid of? What I look at is how do I naturally, via what's given to me in the human anatomy and chemical response or reaction to fear? Because it's instant and obvious. When I'm afraid, here's what happens. I have a need to be right and need to be offended and need to be separate and need to be inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, so on and so forth. That's what happens when I'm afraid. Whether I'm afraid of heights or afraid of, you know, shoelaces or the sun, it doesn't matter. My reaction is one of the things that interferes with my potential. It limits me. So I'm looking for clues and patterns of the instant and obvious reaction to fear, especially worry, frustration, anger, separation, inferiority, superiority, resentment, and guilt, just to name a few. So how do and what do we do to apply our why? It's how you respond to the reaction, because the reaction is in the subconscious and unconscious. It's instant and obvious. It's you can't stop getting pissed off when someone cuts you off. I'm sorry. You can't stop being guilty when you do something effed up to someone that you love. You can't stop it. But I'll tell you what you can do is shorten the distance of resistance that you create with it by seeking the wisdom, learning the lesson of it, and having faith that you're protected, promoted, loved, and perfected. You're spending less time in the response to the reaction that's natural and obvious and instant. So how do we do that, just to finish up? One, do not resist it. Do not go over it, under it, through it, around it, lie to it, cheat it, manipulate it, or deny it like most human beings do. Don't do that. Do something that is far more difficult. When you're in the response mode, when you react to fear, try this. It's not easy. Stop. When you're in an argument with your wife, try stopping. Even if she goes, don't you dare walk away from me. Don't you dare stop. Stop. Trust me, stop. When somebody cuts you off and flips you off, before you go and flip them back off and end up with a bullet in your car or something bigger and stupider, just stop. Stop. Don't resist it. Go over it, under it, through it, around it, lie to it, manipulate it, cheat it, deny it. Just stop and then breathe. Through your nose, out through your mouth, and drop. Drop to center. Drop down to your higher self. Co-command your life, co-create your life, be at ease, dissipate, dissolve, and disappear that dis-ease before it accelerates and aggregates bioatomically, biochemically, emotionally, physically, spiritually. It's going to accelerate you in the wrong direction and trajectory, I promise you. Get to the divine. Remind yourself, remember yourself, and recollect yourself with your God. Remind, remember, and recollect, and then what do? Just roll. Roll back into the divine direction that you made the plan with. So you're spending minutes and moments in that response. That's fine. Just minutes and moments. Live your life at ease. Live your life in your potential. Accelerate, aggregate, compound exponentially what you desire better in your life. When your mind and body and soul are on fire, it's instant and obvious. Everybody knows what your mom taught you when you were young. If you ever catch on fire, you got to stop, you got to drop, and you got to roll.